Have your Bibles, go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I was at the camp on Thursday, and somebody mentioned this to me, and it wouldn't go away. The title of this message is, "We're Going Back to Ziklag." We're going back to Ziklag. First Samuel 30, verse 1. Let me lay a little groundwork while you're going to 1 Samuel 31. And if I preached here just recently, just take it as a good second helping, amen. I don't know when it was last, but praise, this is always good to me. I want you to hear this, though. David was living with the Philistines. When he was headed back to the Ziklag, he was about to go into battle with the Philistines against Israel. You heard me right. With the Philistines against Israel. Amen? Before I move on, I want you to get this. Sometimes in our lives as Christians, you will feel better with the enemy than you will in the house of God. Whew. Sometime in ministry, you will feel better outside of ministry than inside of ministry. Let me explain it this way. You'll go where the world goes, and they will treat you better than the people of faith will. Not all the time, but sometimes. And you'll question yourself and you'll say, why is the enemy treating me better than my brothers and sisters are? I don't know, but God knows. Make a note right there. I don't know, but God knows. God can take you and put you behind enemy lines and still be in charge. God, I wish y'all would let me preach. God will turn your world upside down and backwards and still be in control. You'd think, man, God, where are you? What are you doing? How'd I get here? This is not the plan. This is not the idea. This is not the great situation that I'd planned. It seems like you've reversed everything. I'm hanging out with people that should be killing me, and I should be killing them. I should be... And the people that I'm seeming like I'm... Y'all help me preach. It seems like the people that I'm against, I'm for. And the people that are for me, I'm against them. You ever been there? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. You stick around long enough, you'll find yourself there. If we'd be honest right now, there's been times in our Christian walk where we would think if you wrote down your biggest problem or your biggest issue, you would write somebody's name down that you go to church with. Woo! Ain't that something? When you could always put the devil's name there. Amen? And you could always put down some real issue. But sometimes we could put down, oh, so-and-so from church really drives me nuts. Amen? Ain't that amazing? David, on his way to battle, but then the Philistines got wise of it. I don't know who the first one was, but one looked at another and said, you know what? This is a bad idea. We're going to battle the person that we know is a killing machine. We'll be surrounded. Let's go. Let's send them back. The best thing is not to have David on the battlefield, period. Let's send him back to Ziklag. And I don't know if David took a big swath off sweat off his brow, knowing he's going to have to kill his own people that he was anointed the next king of Israel for. God, I wish I could be real with y'all. Or he was kind of upset. I would have liked to got a couple shots in on some of the ones that I needed to get shots in on. Amen? Oh, y'all can't be, we can't be real honest right there. I was kind of hoping they'd let me loose. But ain't you glad when God don't always let you loose? God, aren't you glad sometimes, I don't know, it might not be all time for me, but ain't you glad sometimes when you keep your mouth shut, keep your temper under control, and you get home and you get down the road a little bit and you think, thank you, God, Oh, I don't know. Maybe y'all just are so spiritual, I'm not, but that's just the way I see it. 1 Samuel 30:1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any. They took all the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Oh man, they were turning back home. Ziklag was where he was living. It wasn't a permanent place, but it was a place that they could grow and learn and be somebody when they were behind enemy lines. God had made a provision for them even behind enemy lines. Amen. But as they're riding back, they look and they see smoke. Guess what? Where there's smoke, there's fire. Amen. There's an issue and a problem. They get back and they found out that, guess what? They had took all the women and children captive. Not killed them, but captive. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. This ain't a good situation. I know what scenarios run through my mind when it comes to my family. But praise God, you need to find a good thing in a bad thing. Whew. Amen. And all I see it, like is I probably preached this so many times, but I want you to see it. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and the wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Boy, I've been there. Have you ever cried so much you couldn't cry no more? Well, stick around once again. Stick around in this life. You'll find yourself there. Amen. Life has a way of hitting you so hard that you didn't know that you could cry to the point where you don't cry anymore. Tears won't come. I've been there just in the last 2 years where you're sitting there going, let a tear fall, I'd feel better. But you can't. Amen? Now these ain't, I don't know how to put this. These are not weak men. These are warriors. I mean trained warriors. David has trained these up since the cave of Adullam, since they were people who were reprobate, people who were in debtors, people who were crazy, people who nobody else wanted to have anything to do with, and then on top of that, a few of his family members. Golly, y'all had a perfect opportunity to jump. Some of y'all's family's crazy. Right? If they ain't, it's you. Amen. You better point the finger in the other direction. If you don't know who the crazy people in your family are, it's you. Amen. But I'm going to be honest with you. They got some of his family members came. Pray, could you imagine some of you and your family stuck in a cave together? That's where they were at. And David trained them up and raised them up and got them to believing in God and trusting in Him. And he raised up a ministry from nothing. Amen? And all of a sudden, that comes crashing down when they were expected to return to home and their wives and children are gone. You will lose all spiritual capability if somebody takes something you care away that much, that quickly. Whew, I'll let that sink in. Have you ever thought yourself pretty spiritual until something got took away from you that you cared a lot about? Amen? You become like a baby, don't you? I'll be honest with you, you become like a baby in your prayers. God, I'm mad at you. Anybody? God, I'm upset with you. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why I put you in charge of my life. I could probably do a better job. Oh. These men wept and cried and were broken. Because their hearts were broken. Get your heart broke. Stick around. You're going to have your heart broke. I hate to tell you all this stuff. Yeah, I had somebody tell me this when I first got saved. Listen, Christianity is not all a bed of roses. There's thorns in there too. Amen? Amen? There's thorns in there too. Verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captive, Abinadab the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man of his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Take your Bible, take your pen, start right there where it says, but David, and start underlining until you get God. Amen? But God, listen, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Whew. Underline it. Because listen, when everybody else is talking about destroying you and getting rid of you and quitting on you, praise God, you need to be able to say, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I can't call the pastor. I can't call the deacons. I can't call my friend. I can't get anybody on the text line. Nobody on Facebook's going to message me. Praise God. Maybe I should just get a hold of the Lord myself. Sometimes you just got to talk to God by yourself. Sometimes you just got to say, wait a minute, God, I'll be an intercessor for myself. Sometimes your friends don't know what you're going through. Sometimes your wife don't know what you're going through. Sometimes your husband don't know what you're going through. Goodness, until I get an amen, all right? Sometimes everybody else sees it one way and you see it another. Amen? When David's quiet, when David's sitting all alone and everybody's talking about killing, listen, you got two choices. Get real depressed or you need to seek the Lord. End it all or seek the Lord. Go to war or seek the Lord. Amen? Because David could have bucked up and said, hey, I brought every one of you to the party and I can take you out. But instead he said, you know, whatever eye is on me. Sometimes, hey, check this out. And sometimes in life, every eye's going to be on you. The whole family's looking at you. The whole company's looking at you. The whole team's looking at you. The whole church is looking at you. What are you going to do? You going to fold up and quit too? You going to get mad too? You going to do something erratic too? Golly, I would have loved to have seen this, wouldn't you? I would have, just think about it. Everybody's sitting there whispering. You can hear them. I mean, these are grown men. These are warriors. Man, I think I'm going to just get a stone and kill him. You know what? And they didn't say it all soft and everything. I'm going to rip your head off, David. I'm mad. You know what? You say stuff when you're mad. I know something. You don't ever do it at church. You're blessed and highly favored. Yeah. Hey, yeah. And you just say all kinds of nice stuff, spiritual things, taglines, God is good, and all the time. Yeah, but guess what? Let somebody really tick you off, amen? Let somebody cut you off on the highway. Let somebody do something to you at work. You'll really let them have it, right? Listen, that's what they were saying. They said, I'm about to rip your guts out. I'm about to do something to you. You let my wife and my kids go. My little girl is somewhere right now. You're going to pay. I'm being honest with you. I love to worship. I love to praise. But could you see a little hand coming up? Can you see David just raise his hand and stand there in the midst of 400 men who want to kill him? God, you've been so good to me. I trust you. God, I love you. You're trying to bless me, not kill me. You're trying to make me stronger, not weaker. This is to my good. It ain't to kill me. God, you're going to use this for something to honor yourself. This can't be the end. You anointed me the king of Israel, and I am not the king of Israel. I'll stand on your promises, God. I will not look around and see what I see with my eyes. I can only see what I see by faith. God, I trust you. Amen? Sometimes you got to stand on promises. I've had the devil crawl up in my ear and say, Kevin, this is the end of you. And I get on the other side, and I turn and say, listen, it can't be done with me. God's already told me I'm going to do more than this. Amen? If I ain't done yet, well, the enemy, listen to this, and guess what? In the end of it, if I take my last breath, I'm going to be in glory. And if you think I'm hard to deal with here, my God, I hope your mansion ain't nowhere near close to mine. We're going to be a loud bunch. Amen? Whew. Goodness gracious. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired as the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Whew. I love this part of the story. Not only did he encourage himself,
he became his own high priest. Listen, the tabernacle, it hasn't, the partition hasn't been rent from top to bottom, but it's a foreshadowing to see that it will be. David said, go get me the ephod. Listen, the son of the priest brought him the ephod. His father had been killed. He brought him the ephod, and he said, I don't have anybody to go to the Lord on my behalf, so therefore I will go to the Lord on my own behalf. He presented himself as a, he said, Lord, I want to be a, I wonder if he tapped into the bloodline of Jesus. Sorry, I'm just kidding. You know the lineage of Christ is through David. Amen. He said, you know what, I'm man, but guess what? There's one coming after me that's God. Amen. He said, he is the high priest. Maybe I can tap into that who I am. Amen. I love the priest. Hey, listen, can I help you real quick? I'm going to, so you might as well say yeah. And David inquired in the Lord and said, shall I pursue the troop and I shall I overtake them? Verse 8, did you see that? Stop playing around with God. Listen, I'm being honest with you. Stop playing around with God. Tell him what you want. He's either going to say yes or no or not yet. Listen, hey, Lord, you give me the ephod. Went into the pray. God, you know, it'd be real nice if I could get my wife back. But if you don't want me to, God, I know you're busy up there, right? And I know you're not. God, it's good to be in your house, you know. Oh, no, don't get mad at me because I said that one. He went right to work. Amen? Listen, David inquired, shall I pursue after the troop and shall I overtake them? God, that's a military strike. I know it's kind of rough right now where we're at in our political world, but that's a political, hey, God, can I go after them? And if I get them, can I overtake them? Huh? Goodness gracious, man, we're so soft as Christians today. We'd dare, Lord, can you give me the enemy and can I overtake them? Can I take back, here it is, come down, can I take back what the enemy took? Some of y'all in the back say amen every once in a while. Hey, can I get back anything that the enemies took? Whew. Man, I want to ask that question. God, can I get back? Amen. God's given me some time back. Amen. I love this. And he answered him. Whew. Look at the word. Underlined it. Pursue. Whew. Man. For thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Whew. He reminded God. Remember, he encouraged himself in the promises. Then he got another promise because he sought God. You remind him of the promises that he already gave you, seeking the promises that he will give you. I like that. Don't y'all like that? God's better than we think he is. God's always better than we think he is. We think he's going to give us some big paragraph answer. Lord, can I go after him? Go. Pursue. I'm sorry. Pursue. Man, could you? Like a slobbering, like a mad dog. Amen? Oh, gosh. I don't know some of y'all. Do y'all really? If my wife and kids was somewhere, and somebody got a head start with them, Chris, and I talked to God, and God said, pursue, we're going to ride. We ain't driving the speed limit. Amen? We ain't abiding by the laws. You're going to drive. You're going to be in the side seat holding on to that thing and praying in, like you've never prayed before. Probably in a language you've never prayed. Just saying. Don't get all upset that I said it, but I guarantee you'll be sitting there going, Lord, help us, God, help us. Oh, please. Pursue, amen? That's what he said. Pursue, for thou surely will overtake them and without fail recover all. Then you've got to start reminding yourself, what did God say? All right? When you started the journey, what did God say? Listen, when God called me to preach, he didn't ever tell me to stop. When God told you to do the thing, if he did, he gives you the orders, amen? You go after them. I'll give it to you. Watch. So David went. God, I wish I'd just read some of this sometimes. I preach for 20 minutes and read the next verse. So David went, and he and 600 men that were with him and came to the brook Bezor, where those that were left behind stayed. There's a brook Bezor in every ministry. Every ministry I've been in, there's a Brooke Bezor. And there's a ministry, there's a Brooke Bezor in your life and in your ministry. You might have to write that down. You will come to it. God's promised you one thing. Stay, go, do. Whatever it is. Preach, minister, go here, do that, go to school. Whatever it is. What, you know what it is. I don't. But as soon as you get at it, as soon as you get at it, I'm talking about going after what God's told you to do. When you saddle up, you and the boys are on it. Amen? You and the girls are on it. Okay, sorry, I had to add the women too. You are going to come up against an obstacle that will make you want to stop. And it will look awful. It will look impassable. It will look, I'm preaching to everybody in this room right now. You better listen to what I'm saying. This is for you. I know it. I just checked into my spirit. Some of us, we're just rolling through this little message. This is for everybody in this room right now. Guess what? You're going to run up to a Brooke Bezor and you're going to say, it would be easier for us just to stay on this side and stop. But God said pursue, God said go over, God said you'll get it all back, but you have to go. And not everybody went. I guarantee you there was somebody on that side of Brooke Bezor said, I don't think God wants me to go over. You don't have an altar call right now? I think God changed his mind. Some of y'all make God, you'd think he was bipolar. Or you'd think he was a chatty Cathy too. He just says one thing, and then tomorrow he says something totally different. God told me to do this. Oh, tomorrow, oh, totally opposite. God says, mount up, go get them, and you'll get them all back. Got to Brooke Bezor. Seems like it's impossible. Some people can't cross. That's not really what we want. God just don't need that. No, that's you. God ain't said another word. You just hit an obstacle. You just hit an obstacle. You know how many churches and ministries I've been into? When you get to Brooke Bezor, most people camp out at Brooke Bezor, stay at Brooke Bezor, and we start ministering to the people who won't go over instead of ministering to the people who will. Let that sink in. I went to a church for 4 years, and they had revival in that church for 4 years. Two of the years I preached the revival, and every year revival broke out right at the end of revival. Every single time, some big mess would be started over something that didn't make any sense, and they would stop and have big meetings about the big incident, and next thing you know, they were further back than when the revival started. You know why? They were ministering to the people who wouldn't jump over Brooke Bezor. They wanted to minister to the people who wanted to make a camping resort out this side of Brooke Bezor. Oh, we're just not going to be able to make it over. We can't do it. We've never done it. This church has never been that kind of church. This ministry's never been this kind of ministry. I don't know if I'm capable. None of us are capable. Get over the brook and go with God. Can I preach to you? Can I go ahead and nail it down where you can? What are they going after? Yeah. What are we going after as a ministry? Souls. There are souls that go into hell every single day. We don't have an option to quit. We don't have an option to say, nah, we'll just stay right here where it's comfortable. That's a big old obstacle. That's not what God said. If God said to build it, let's build it. If God said use it, let's use it. If God said go, go. If God said stay, stay. Do what God says to do, but do it until he says something. Oh my gosh. Y'all like? Are you hearing it? Because that Brooke Bezor, I'm going to be honest with you. When you look at the water, it's scary death. That's deep. All right, y'all good? Can we move on? Can we go past Brooke Bezor? Even in this message? And they found an Egyptian. Look, verse 10. And David pursued. Golly, I love that. Don't y'all? Look at, and God, I want to move on so bad. And y'all probably want me to, but there's some people, 200 of them, and we can't make it. David, we're going to have to stay. Can y'all stay here with? And David said, y'all going to stay? Yeah, all right. We're going over. Whew, over the creek. Over the Bezor. Amen? Oh, come on. David didn't even wait. Leaders, people that need to get over, who need to get life back, who need to get the wife and the kids and the job and get on with life, who want to see souls saved, who want to see lives changed, you can't stay where it's comfortable. It's good preaching.
But David pursued and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over Brook Bezor.
Whoo, we just can't make it. God bless you. We're going on. I hate to tell you this. I'm going to say it real boldly. God bless you. We're going on. We're going on. Sometimes you just got to say, we're going on. Amen? Oh, y'all. Whew. That sounds good from a pulpit. Sounds good on Sunday night. Praise God. Wait till we have to do it. Amen. Verse 11, and they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, whom thou belongest thou, and whence thou art? He said, who do you belong to, and where are you from? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant of the Amalekites, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. We had made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast that belongs to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, which, and we burned Ziklag with fire. That's David's house. I'm just preaching. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to the company? And he said, swear unto me, by God, and thou wilt never kill me, and deliver me into the hands of thy master, and I will bring thee down to this company.
It's time sensitive that you get over the hurdle. They would have never have found the Egyptian if they would have stayed on this side of Brook Bezor. Y'all, the Egyptian had not ate for 3 days and three nights. He had not drink water for 3 days and three nights. He was about to die. The person that was the link to the getting the women and the children back, the next thing, was over Brook Bezor in a time-sensitive manner. Golly. Did you see it? That when did the miracle happen? When did the blessing happen? When did they find the guy who couldn't make it any further either? Right over the other side of Brook Bezor. Think, golly, write this down. I guess I'd say, write this down. Praise God, it'll start coming together when you keep following God's promises past the obstacle. Whew. When you get past the obstacle, you'll run into the thing. It makes it a hole. We didn't think we could. We didn't think we should. We didn't think we had the ability, the talent, the know-how, whatever, the resources. But we met the guy. Goodness gracious. He was about to die. You meet somebody like that and they say, man, I was about to move to Texas. I was about to go out of business. I'm about to retire. You hear what I'm saying? I was about to, but here you come along and I can tell you exactly what to do. I can tell you exactly how to do it. You meet somebody in recovery. Hey, man, I don't know how to do it. Well, since you got over that first hurdle, I've been sober 17 years. I've been sober 20 years. Let me show you how I've been doing it. Oh, I was once dead too. Hey, man, I was once among the walking dead too. I stuck it out. Oh. I love it, though. The Egyptian's smart, ain't he? We burned down Ziklag. Where were the Amalekites? Who are you guys? I think you looked around and seen 400 angry men and kind of deducted the reasoning that maybe you guys are the citizens of Ziklag. I will tell you where the Amalekites are if you do not kill me. That's a pretty smart man. Amen? Y'all good? I love this. It's one of my favorite places in the Bible. Look at this. And when he had brought him down, verse 16, and when he brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. I've preached this here. I love this. This is my favorite. Right here. The little Egyptian, he's got David, right? And if y'all don't know this by reading the Bible, David is a man of God. Man after God's own heart. He's wrote a lot of Psalms, so he's good with the heart. He's a fine-looking fella. That's what That's what it said. Ruddy, pretty boy, right? Golly, I'm trying to think of all the other things. Really good guy, right? But let me leave this one in here. I crawl the guys in here. He is a rock'em sock'em killing machine. No, God wouldn't let him build his house because he had so much blood on his hands. He was a warrior. Love God, but he was a warrior. This man led a killing machine right up to the edge of camp. And said, they're right over there. And David and 400 of his men were looking in on campfires of men dancing and drinking and criticizing and making fun. And let me just say it this way, celebrating just a little bit too early. Because, oh man, I love this stuff, don't you? Because right outside the camp, there's a fire glistening. And David, king of Israel, just glistening, going, it's not going to be good for y'all. God, y'all, y'all get this. Because you got my bride. You got my brides. And you got my kids. And that ain't going to be happening. No. Let me put it this way. Maybe Revelation. When Jesus came to take death, hell, and the grave, the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And Jesus is standing in the same kind of situation when all hell is having a celebration just a little too early. Huh? Maybe just a little too early. We killed him. We crucified him. Put him in a grave. We took his own people and got him to turn him over, and now he's dead. And there's somebody standing right outside saying, you're trying to take my bride. And you're trying to take my kids. Now give me them keys. It ain't going to work out for you. Amen? Do you see it now? Let me give you this last part. I want to help you before we close because that ain't the end of the story. I love this. This is the most important part of the story. This right here. Not that. That was awesome. But this is the best part of the story. And David recovered all. Verse 18, the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor any that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Hallelujah. Some of y'all need to get the mindset, I'm going to keep trusting God until I recover all. Okay, I'll let that settle in. And David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men. Right here is the most important part, 21. Which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at Brook Bezor. And they went forth to meet David, to meet the people, and they were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. And then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial, those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them all of the spoil we have recovered, save to every man, his wife, and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then David, verse 23, said, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us, and delivered the company that came against us in our hand. For we will hearken unto you, we will hearken unto you in this matter, but as his part that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, they shall part alike. David blessed the people that didn't go over. Why? 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 Because there's going to be another Brook Bezor. There's going to be another tragic calamity. There'll be another hurdle. And you know what? Some of those 200 people who didn't make it over will be at that point, and they'll see the other men. They'll say, hey, we can't make it. They'll say, no, 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 listen. This same thing happened to us. And we stayed right here. And it was the hardest thing we've ever done. It's worth it to go over Brook Bezor. Let's go over together. Because I know how it feels to fail. I know how it feels to sit on this side of Brook Bezor and not go get your family back. Let's go over together. See, God don't need everybody who succeeded. He needs the people who succeeded and some of the people who failed too. Amen? If you get a chance to restore somebody who wants to be restored, restore them. Amen? Because guess what you did right then? Is you established them for future fights. Amen? Ain't that awesome? Is that not awesome? That's the kind of ministry I want. No man left behind. No hurdle that we can't go over with God. If God tells you to do it, do it until you recover all or get it all that God said to get. Amen? Can I give y'all one more thing before I close? I hate to do this. No, I ain't. Let's all stand. I can't do it. Could you imagine what it sounded like to the men and women who didn't go over Brook Bezoar when they heard their wife and children coming down the trail? Hear me? I guarantee that'd fuel your fire forever. Amen? Here's your wife and kids. Amen? I picture this a whole different way. I see it like movie form. I see David walking down there with his wives and maybe a little girl holding his ring finger or finger, walking with their daddy, just drenched, you know. It's a pretty good victory, right? Guys, I don't know what God's trying to do in your life. I do not know. I don't know all the things he's trying to do in your ministry. I do have an idea what he's trying to do in this church. What we got to do is we got to trust him to go all the way with him. There's no way God said, hey, let's go halfway. Stop. We got to go all the way. We got to trust him. No matter what hurdles we hit. Because guess what? Right on the other side of that, we're going to see souls saved and lives changed here. It might be somebody you're related to. It might be somebody you work with. It's important, and it's time sensitive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity.